Good morning. I must say I have been blessed to be here this morning. If I would say I wouldn't have a message from the Lord, would that be okay? Alvin asked that. I must say, I don't really feel I have a message from the Lord necessarily. I have never struggled so much to get a message together as I did for today. So I think it's ironic that you mentioned that, Alvin. I'm not sure. If that isn't okay, I'll be happy to sit down and we can fill the time some other way. There is some preparation made to go through the scriptures and see what we can learn, but I don't feel compelled to speak. I was just blessed also by the songs. I'm not sure what they were. The one that was mentioned, that Alvin mentioned about where the angels came to proclaim Christ's birth. And about the fullness of Christ. And I really appreciate what has been put on the board already, because, and the way it's been put on there, I appreciate that. It would be nice if we could just take that mountain out of there and just make that a nice line like it ought to be. Just write it like it is in your Bibles. Have the fullness written line there. And yet, it has been said in Canada, some people say in Canada there is four seasons, some people say there's only three, and some people say there's only two. Some people say there's only construction and winter, and some say it is construction, almost winter, and winter, and then construction. So I'm not sure how many seasons you think there is, but it is true that we don't travel very far on the roads until we meet up with construction. And if it isn't construction, then it's probably winter time and we meet up with road conditions that are less than ideal. We are learning how to drive. I'm not sure. I was thinking about this when we got instructed how to drive. I was thinking about this. I think there's a section in our book that pertains to construction. signs, there's road signs, and then there is signs that pertain to construction. And I was thinking of maybe going through Romans 14. And doing it in the sense of it being in the construction section of the book. No, the Church of Jesus Christ is under construction. At all times, there is very few times in the church that the conditions are ideal. And as we travel the roads, we think, why so much construction? Just around where we live, there's not far from us, there was a bridge under construction all summer, and it made for more delays than usual. At another place, there was a road under construction, and sometimes it was closed completely, and at other times it was partially closed. And I'm thinking of the road heading into Elmira, and then recently, not too long ago, the road had been open temporarily, and then now it is closed again for 4 weeks. And looking at that, you wonder why. Like, just get it done, get it paved, and so we can carry on. I am probably not going to benefit. I'm not going to benefit from the work that you do in between, from what now, and just getting the road open. And yet, it's not what I benefit from. It's from what society benefits from. There is a larger plan that that we don't necessarily always see. I guess I'll share the incident that I had been thinking about when I first when I came to this. So there's a on that road that I was talking about, there's construction going on from here to here, and along here there's maybe 3 or 4 businesses, I'm not sure. So here we have the road, and we have men standing at the road with signs. So what, there's a man standing here, with a sign. Does anybody know what it says on that sign? Stop and slow. That's a pretty hard command to follow. That's a very confusing command, actually. Good answer. It says stop on one side and it says slow on another. As we read through the Bible and certain portions of it, it can be very confusing. It can be very confusing, but it doesn't have to be. If we read the sign that pertains to us. And sometimes it's just common sense. So now we have somebody standing here with a sign. We have somebody standing here with a sign. And so now it says slow on both of these signs, so the traffic moves slowly. This road is closed, by the way. And from here on, we have both roads. So the traffic has to do that and also do this. So now all of a sudden we have a one-way street that is not always the same way, one way. So as long as we have people here with the signs, it's okay. They tell us what to do. At this particular time, I wanted to be going to this business in here. So now, when I'm coming back out, there's no sign here. So how do I know which way to go? Well, common sense will tell you, but also there was a construction worker. His job wasn't to direct traffic, but he that's what he did right then, because it was convenient for him to do so. He was going to a packer here to pack down some fill. So as he came out here, he asked me, so which way are you going? And I told him, well, I'm turning right. Okay, so you know how this works? Well, yeah, I know how it works. It's pretty obvious, but if I'm heading this way, I know that I was able to see both signs. So if I'm heading this way, I'll have to look at this sign that says slow, but it's not just like immediately here. You have to look away, but you have to use your common sense. The traffic is traveling this way at this time. So if I'm heading right, then I have right of way. If there's a stop sign and I'm heading left, then I have to stop until the sign changes. So the sign isn't always the same. There's one-way street, but we read the sign that pertains to us. Let's just read through Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the living, dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth it anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace and things wherewithal one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Breaking into the middle, or the end, rather, of an epistle like this may not be the best idea. This portion of the epistle, I believe, was written to a select group of people. It was written to a group of people who had been completely stripped of themselves. And again, I'd like to mention already in moderating, that was very clearly brought out through Romans, at the beginning of Romans. If we have not been completely stripped of ourselves, if we have come this far through Romans and we have not been completely stripped of ourselves, we will not, cannot benefit from this here chapter. That's just the way it is. If we have not been stripped of ourselves, if we don't fall into the category of being sinful, first of all, being stripped of ourselves, now, not only stripped of ourselves, but now, beginning of Romans, I believe, deals with that, first bringing men to condemnation, and then, through faith in Christ, having a new life in Christ. Those are the primary, that is what primarily needs to take place before we can benefit from Romans chapter 14. So let's keep that in mind. If we are here as followers of Jesus Christ, and if I were to ask you what did Jesus come to earth to do, I would probably, very likely, I'd get a variety of different answers. Well, he came to heal the sick, which he did. He came to save the lost. He came that we might have life. He came to do all those things. He came to do many more things. But ultimately, what he came to do, he came to do his Father's will. And that is, as followers of Jesus, what we ought to be doing, to do our Father's will. And that will play itself out differently, but most of all, it is to bring glory to God. Getting back to that stop and slow sign, it seems that Romans 14 is a two-sided sign. It tells us to not judge and to not criticize others, and it tells us to be considerate of others and not to exercise our liberty if it causes others to stumble. If If we're driving along here, I'm like Ron. I know exactly what it says on the other side of that sign already. He's just not showing it to me. So if I were just to drive a little further, just a little bit beyond the stop sign and look into my rear view mirror, now all of a sudden I'd be able to see a slow sign. So now I'd be perfectly legal to drive because I now see the slow sign. What are you laughing at me about? I'm not sure. You know, it is funny, but maybe it is funny, and maybe it's not, but too often we look at Scripture that way. We don't look at Scripture as in direction to our application, but we look at Scripture to justify what we are doing. And it is there. It's the other, the slow side of the sign is showing just as much as the stop if we are in the right place. If we just have to drive a little further and we can see the slow sign very well. So, I was trying to go through this and actually lay it out verse by verse. I am not the greatest at that. Personally, I'm more for thought flow. And yet, I would just like to encourage all of us to, when we read a section of Scripture like this, to really seek the direction that is, that pertains, seek the section that pertains to us. It pertains here to two things it deals with is the days, different days that maybe it doesn't talk about days in this chapter. In verse 6, it talks about the day. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. Then it talks about eating. It talks about different foods, lawful or unlawful. And we may say that's not very applicable to us. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. And yet I think there's a principle in here that we can learn from. In all that we do, what are we seeking to do it for? Let's just turn back to the last verse of chapter 13 of Romans. It says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." And then the beginning of chapter 14 and chapter 15, the beginning of verse of chapter 15, maybe the first 13 verses actually tie together fairly well. What Paul was dealing with here, I believe, he was dealing with people from different backgrounds, and as is the case with many epistles, there were Jewish people and Gentile converts to the Christian faith, and they both had come from their own backgrounds, teachings, and cultures, and they were trying to find the way in Christ now. And so this chapter 14 is instruction, is a bit more of a detailed instruction toward that. I believe. And as was said, the Church of Jesus Christ is under construction. There is constantly, since where is it? Somewhere it talks about the going out into the highways and compelling people to come in because those that were invited to the feast refused to come. Now instruction was given to go out in the highways and compel them to come in. So along with that, we have this flood of people now believing in the gospel message, and they all come with their own set of problems, I guess. And it causes the Church of Jesus Christ to be a construction site. When we're going through construction, even at home, sometimes many of you probably have already done renovations or construction at home, and you know it can be a big mess. And the way we get through, the way we endure through the mess, is we look to the end. We look to the end, the glory that is intended for the end. We didn't go through the construction period for the sake of the construction period, but it was for the sake of the end. And we're not going through this life to fulfill my will, or to fulfill your will. If you'd all just see it like I do, it would make less confusion and my will could maybe be accomplished. But the opposite is also true, that if we would all follow your advice, then your will would be accomplished. But we're not here to mind our own will, we're here to mind our Father's will. So verse 3 and 4, it says, "Let him that which eateth not judge him that eateth. God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or fallen, or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. There is other scriptures that talk about this, about all things. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about all things being lawful to me, but all things edify not. There is obviously, this chapter is preceding things at the end of chapter 13. It is to be taken in light of that. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And then again, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's obviously some things that are wrong to do, and there are things that are right to do. And then there are things that are questionable to some and not to others. And that is what I believe that Romans 14 is dealing about. And the instruction in the beginning, maybe first from verse 3 to 14, I believe is for those who have questions about some things. It is telling them, don't judge others by what they do. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. The gospel gives us a liberty, I believe, it gives us the freedom to extend liberty to others where we don't have the freedom of conscience to exercise ourselves. That is a great privilege in the gospel to be able to do that. To be able to extend liberty to others that we would not be able to exercise ourselves due to our conscience. And if there is something that is opposing our conscience, I believe this chapter is very clear. Especially the last verse, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Maybe I'll read verse 22 in accordance with that. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So something that is right is maybe sometimes wrong. Something that is right can be wrong. Something that if we do something that defiles our conscience, it is already wrong. It doesn't matter if it is right or if it's wrong. In this here, it was talking about meats. If we don't have the conscience to eat a certain meat, don't eat it. Although the meat is good, and another can eat it freely. It is wrong if it defiles your conscience. There is no greater liberty than a free conscience. There is no greater liberty that we have in Christ than a free conscience. And that isn't, that is something that I think we don't have to go to the scriptures to find out. We don't have to read it out of the scriptures to know that. We just know that because we know it's true. The end of the chapter deals more with maybe not exercising a liberty you have for the sake of a weaker brother. It is a serious thing to exercise our liberty if it causes another to stumble. It is recorded in three. Jesus said that if turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. But whoso shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of a sea. If we cause a little one to stumble, it would be better that a millstone would be hanged around our neck and we would be drowned in the depth of a sea. It was interesting to me that is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here, the preceding verses say, Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye become converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as his little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it is talking about a small child there. Let's just turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 42. The same words are used there, and I can't find the. It does talk about a child, though. But it seems there's another incident, verse 38, 39, 40. And 41 are wedged in between the little child and the millstone incident. Let's just read those. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever will shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ. Verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And then he goes on to say, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones and believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast off into the sea. So this was talking about people in between here, wedged in between here. We have an incident of his disciples coming and saying, What shall we do with those that aren't following us, but they are casting out devils in thy name? Jesus said, forbid them not. And then he goes on to say, it would be better if a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. So I think it isn't referring only to children, but it is referring to those that are weak in the faith. And let's just go to Luke 17, starting at verse 1. Then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto them through whom they come. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. In Luke here, we don't at all have the incident of the children being there. It's very good chance that it was all the same incident, and yet what they saw was different things. Maybe it wasn't the same incident. But here it was talking about, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. So, as we live our lives, there's another verse 19 of Romans chapter 14 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewithal one may edify another. We can do that by not judging other people on their liberties, and we can do that by not exercising our liberties for the sake of others. There is this here. It is important that we realize that this is a voluntary abstinence from a liberty. It is not a command. It is not a command. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, starting at the beginning maybe. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding them to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Here he is warning of false teachers. How there will be teachers that will be teaching this, that it is wrong to eat certain kinds of food and it is wrong to marry. That ought to that there is a violation of the truth. It is a totally different concept than in Romans 14. I was thinking again along the lines of this construction zone. or maybe driving habits in general. Sometimes it is when we're driving on the road, sometimes there is a transport truck that needs to get in somewhere, and although we would have right of way to keep driving, sometimes even there is people flagging down traffic to stop them so that they can accomplish what they need to accomplish. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get it accomplished, so they have to stop the traffic and do their thing and then go on. So that's well and good to do that. And yet if somebody would take the liberty to put up a stop sign where they need it, say for instance, it would really increase traffic flow on my laneway if I were to put up a stop sign. If my laneway comes out here and the roadway's here, if I were to put up a stop sign there and there, it would really increase the traffic flow on my laneway. So there is times when it would be nice to do that. This fall we were hauling crop from my farm over to my brother's farm over here, and it probably took maybe 150 loads of silage over in a few days' time. It would have been really handy if we would have the right of way here. Most of the time it didn't make any trouble, but there wasn't much traffic. However, we didn't have right of way there. If I would have taken the liberty to put in a stop sign there and there, because of even to get transport trucks into my lane, that would be a totally different concept than if you come driving along and you see there is a transport truck coming in here and he needs some time to get in there, and you would voluntarily abstain from that, from your liberty, from your legal right that you have. You would voluntarily abstain from doing that. If you were the road superintendent, you wouldn't have any problem with somebody coming out and flagging you down here so that this truck could get in there. You wouldn't have any problem with that. But you should have. If you were the road superintendent and you'd come along here and somebody were plunging in a stop sign there, that's a violation of the truth. So we need to decipher the difference between violating truths and stumbling weaker brothers. There is different reasons. Just turn to Galatians chapter 3. We can also Paul talks about here about confronting Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. I'll read it in the King James Version, I guess. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled themselves likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou Gentiles to live as Jews, who are not Jews by nature, and not of sinners of the Gentiles? So here we could here we can justify abstaining from doing certain things. Also, it would have been very easy for Peter to use the same concept of that Paul had in Romans chapter 14. So the reason he's doing that is because of the weaker brothers that came from Jerusalem. And yet Paul immediately saw this as a violation of the truth. When we abstain from liberties that we have to check our motives for doing them. Sometimes it is better not to abstain from liberties. We need to ask ourselves, what is influencing us to do what we're doing? Is it a selfish motive, or are we working for the cause of Christ? Have we been completely stripped of ourselves, like it says in, as it talks about in the beginning of Romans? Have we been stripped of ourselves? Are we living the power of Christ within us? When we exercise the liberty, are we committed to upholding the truth, or is it because of our own carnal desires that we insist on exercising our liberties? We can fool many people, but we can't fool God. And if we think we can, we are mistaken. Can't get my thoughts together now. Maybe I'll just mention yet briefly that in studying this chapter, I found that some people believe that the end of the last few chapters, verses 25, 26, and 27 of Romans chapter 16, is in some manuscripts, is after verse 23 in Romans chapter 14. So maybe I'll just read that yet. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Verse 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ. Is that what we are seeking? For the glory of Jesus Christ. And then verse 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of him that reproached thee fell on me. Just as I was reading that verse, it reminded me of Philippians, where it says, and take on the mind of Christ, who, being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took himself upon himself the form of a servant. I'll have to turn to that. Well, I think some of you could probably quote that better than I can, but but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things on earth and things under earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, the Church of Jesus Christ is under construction, and it isn't always the most convenient for us that it is. Nevertheless, that's what it is. And in thinking that, I'd like to sing this song, 551.